הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, this is Judge Eve, the singer you just heard, who could be doing better if she tried. And I'm so blessed today to have Pamela Ray Shuford as my guest. Let me explain a few things before we start. Her topic really is about the New World Order's plans for the United States, which are not good. But the Bible tells us my people perish for lack of knowledge, and we have to know what's going to happen so we know how to prepare for it and how to protect life and property. Let me say this to you. Pamela loves the Jewish people. In fact, she calls herself a Jewish mama. and she, and of course, that is my heart to the Jewish people. So whatever we talk about is about a specific group of people. And as everybody knows, not all Italians are bad, but there is an Italian mafia. Not all Russians are bad, but there is a Russian mafia, and on and on and on it goes. So try to have an open heart and open mind, because Pamela is a journalist. She's been studying the subject and writing about it for over 17 years. And I'll let her give more detail, but she has contacts with the CIA, so she really gets firsthand information. So please remember that. Pamela, welcome to the Judge Eve Show.
Oh, thank you, dear. Shalom Mishpocha. I am so glad to talk to you. And you did sing that quite well. I've sung it, too, and it sounded adorable.
Thank you.
No problem, dear.
It's when I got to the higher level, you know, I have to be in better shape to do better. but anyway,
well,
let
me explain to the listeners the term. All of a sudden, I'm finding myself a Jewish mama. I am all the way up in Alaska in the Arctic Circle. There is a Messianic Jewish, Jewish friends of mine, the mother, Lisa, and her two children, Solomon and Adam, are here because she is flying now to Eskimo villages to take care of the people in Eskimos and villages that get very sick. So I have to watch her children all the time while she's gone. So I found myself becoming oy vey, a little Jewish mama. But that is just fine, because I've loved in taking care of Jewish children, even out of New York City, and Russian Jewish children for years, and lived a while in Jerusalem, and I just adore the children.
Yeah, I was so precious. I'd like to tell the people, too, you just bought a talit, a Hanukkah talit for Solomon, you know, one of the kids. And also, Pamela could use people's help. If I may, I'll give you her address, if you're led to, and if you can even send her small amounts of money, because she barely has any money of her own, as does Lisa. So her address is, it's Pamela Ray, R-E, Shuford, S-C-H-U-S-F-E-R-T, P-O
Box. F-F-E-R-T.
Two Fs, right? Two Fs like Frank's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought I'd say. And it's P.O. Box 106, and I don't know if I'm saying the city correctly, but it's Kotzebue. It sounds more like Russian.
Kotzebue. K-O-T-Z-E-B-U-E, Alaska.
Alaska. 99752, and I think I'll leave the last four off, you know, enough numbers to worry about.
Sure, that's fine, dear.
Let me also encourage people, if you would like to call in, if you have any questions or comments to Pamela, you may call in at any time during the show at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. And because I had a no-show for next week's show at November 3rd at 11 a.m. Pacific time, I've asked Pamela if she would come back. So we're going to have her for two shows. So if anybody has any questions in between, because what she's going to tell us is imperative, really, for our welfare. So, Pamela, tell us first, please. You were born where? In New York or in Washington, D.C.?
No, I was born in Washington, D.C., at the headquarters of the United States Air Force. My father, that time, was a famous Air Force hero in the U.S. Air Force and is still known for many of his accomplishments. And my mother was a secretary for a congressman, and both worked for the Department of Defense at times in the Washington, D.C. area. So I grew up right outside of Washington, D.C. in the Alexandria, Virginia area.
Did you say your father was in the CIA as well? Did you tell me that?
No, he was not in the CIA, but I've had many contacts, mostly ex-CIA, people who were with the CIA and its many programs, including very much a New World Order agenda, but who got burned, got stung, and came out angry and decided to blow the whistle. And these people have been priceless as far as the information they have given me. But there's many other whistleblowers I have personally met with and talked to, including former high-level Satanists in America who came out to become believers in Jesus the Messiah, but they said, let us tell you all about this side of the New World Order and what it's really all about.
Yes, because let me add to Pamela, you're a believer in Jesus, as am I, and he is Lord
absolutely
of my life. Yes, but that made you
he changed my life 40 years ago. Two wonderful Jewish doctors tried to save my life for 5 years. One was a Park Avenue physician in New York City, a Dr. Isaac Kugelmos. Another was a Dr. Samuel Getlin in New Jersey. And these wonderful Jewish doctors worked hard to save my life, but nothing could heal me until I turned to the third Jewish doctor, Dr. Jesus, the great physician, Yeshua the Messiah.
And
my
people,
doctor in New my doctor in New Jersey was amazed.
Well, let me say this. I'd like you to say why you feel that you were so sick. What were you engaging in at the time, which brought illness?
I did not know any better. I was looking for God and power in the occult, in New Age religions. The very thing that fuels the New World Order, Satanism, Lucifer, the craft, the brotherhood, all the things of darkness is what I was dabbling in because I wanted power in my life.
And
I had my Ouija board, I wanted spirituality. I wanted a God of power, and I couldn't seem to find him otherwise. So I looked in crystal balls, Ouija boards, astrology, poem reading, the occult, New Age religions, karma, reincarnation, doctrines of demons is what the Bible calls them.
Exactly.
But the more I probed into it, the sicker and sicker, more oppressed, depressed I got.
How
no wonder my poor Jewish doctors couldn't cure me. It was demonic what was making me sick.
But what was your illness? Were you weak? Were you depressed?
I had epileptic seizures.
Oh,
I developed brain damage. I developed all kinds of things, going from an IQ of 146 in top grades down to D's, F's, and incomplete grades because of this destroying my high school years and any hope of college or the future. Finally, my doctor on Park Avenue gave up.
And you see, the reason excuse me, I'm having you go into it is because I know what the demonic can do to people. You know, people think, they're so cute, you know, they're helping us. And they don't realize once Satan has a hold of a person, they take everything away from them and they possess them. And I'm used very much in deliverance, so I know what I'm talking about. And so what happened, you said you got saved, and then all of a sudden all the illnesses went away?
I was, when my New York City physician said to my mother privately that I was going to die at the age of 18, we flew home from New York City, and we got into my home, and my mother started crying and saying, "Oh, God, if you're there, please help us." And within 2 weeks, we were in a little church outside of Washington, D.C. in Alexandria, Virginia, where for the first time I heard the gospel of Jesus being preached. I knew that the Holy Spirit was upon me. God was telling me this is what you've been looking for all of your life. And that very day and hour, my mother and I gave our lives to Yeshua the Messiah, and he came in a powerful Holy Spirit filled way, and I went home and gathered up over 60 books in the occult and New Age religions, burned them in our fireplace, smashed my crystal ball, burned my Ouija board, renounced all of that darkness, grabbed a Bible, started studying the Word of God, going to prayer meetings and Bible studies, and then we started attending healing crusades, and within five services, I was healed completely.
You see, and you know, people don't understand, the seed of Satan, you know, once he gets into people, and you see, like, he knew the great work you would do, so he got you interested at a young age. I, too, got very, you know, I was, I finished law school, I was 33, it's funny, and had my own law office, I had children, and I'm thinking, gee, I achieved everything I thought I would achieve, and that's how I started seeking spirituality, and didn't do crystal balls or Ouija board, but I read everything I could about the New Age. So very interesting. So what got you to be a researcher into the New World Order? Maybe tell us first, what is the New World Order? How did you find out about it? And maybe some of
right.
the... Right.
Well, yeah. I went to Bible college after I was healed completely. And I was always interested in mysterious and fascinating things. And the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, speaks in mysterious terminology of what they call end time events. And I was fascinated by that and would pray and ask God to show me the truth about those things.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you the honest way. I mean, I was like many other Christians or Messianic believers in America today, and many Americans as well, just totally ignorant of all of the things that I know now. You have to probe and research, but I didn't have a clue, just a few hints in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
But I remember in 1976, I was doing street outreach to people, street people and all, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. God was moving by His Holy Spirit.
What led you to be there and to be involved in that kind of ministry at that time?
In Tulsa. Well, yeah. I was there because a friend of mine was training in Oral Roberts University.
Oh, okay.
So we went there.
Yes.
And after we did street witnessing one night, we know the Holy Spirit was being poured out at that time. We prayed, and God spoke through the Holy Spirit very startling words that were to fuel me for many years later. He said, I am pouring out my Holy Spirit upon my people in America, because without the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not make it with what is coming to your nation. And I was shocked. I said, God, what is coming to our nation? We prayed and asked Him, and the Holy Spirit impressed on my friend and said, my child, if I were to show you now what is coming to your nation, America, you would not believe it, and you would not be able to bear it. And that got my curiosity for sure. And that night, my friend that I had prayed with had a vision. And he told me the next day, he said, I had a vision of Christians lined up, because they were Christians, in front of modern guillotines with military operating them. And he said, just as it was my turn to be beheaded for my faith by these military with guillotines, the Holy Spirit came upon me. I had joy. I began to laugh, and the vision was over. And I remember thinking then, oh, how silly. Guillotines in America today, how silly. Oh, do I know the truth now about military guillotines in America and how they'll be used.
And that's what people need to, you know, what I'm thinking as you're talking, you know, I got saved February 7, 1974, and it was such a wonderful time of the action of the Holy Spirit. You know, people were really devoted. Remember? I'd say till about the middle
80s. Oh, I do.
Oh, it was, and see, you're explaining why God allowed that to happen, so
that's
praise God for that, you know? But see, what people need to know, people don't know what guillotines are. Can you maybe describe what that is?
Yes, the guillotine was used in the French Revolution. It was designed to behead people that were considered enemies of the revolution.
Right.
And it is where a person is bound and lays down, and their head is put within a hole, and a blade falls from the air. In fact, they had a picture of one. They were using it for their protests in Tel Aviv, Israel, a little while back.
Oh, you're giving me goosebumps.
No.
When? In Israel, too?
Oh, yeah.
My God.
This is a few months ago, but it was this year. And you can Google it up, guillotine in Tel Aviv.
My
gosh. And I captured photos of it.
Let's spell it for the people. G-U-I-L-L-O-T, right? Go ahead. G-U-I-L-L-O-T-I-N-E.
Yeah, G-U-I-L-L-O-T-I-N-E.
Yes.
And I'm glad that I have a military background. I'm glad that I have CIA and Pentagon contacts active, and they've told me much, and they absolutely confirm the fact that there are modern guillotines, modern versions, in America today, not just in America, but military have admitted they're worldwide.
Wow.
And I have personally interviewed military who have trained our U.S. troops in secret locations and facilities, one
in
partly
the United
underground
States.
Is in Fort Lewis McChord, Fort Lewis McChord base in Washington State, Eve, where you are.
That's where I am.
And in, that's right. They have the guillotine, big training program in Fort Lewis McChord there in Washington State. They've got it in Fort Hood, Texas, Fort Bragg. And I began hearing about guillotines way back in 1995.
That's
but
when I heard about
put
it.
The pieces
That's
yeah,
when I
and
heard.
I couldn't
I can't
put the
believe you're saying
together.
That. Yes, go
ahead.
Oh,
yeah. Well, not only that, but my friends of mine taking a missionary prayer journey across America in 1995, my friend Marie McCullough, she said, Pam, we saw a most strange thing when we traveled across Montana near Glacier National Park.
Which I love. She said
we wanted to take pictures.
Yes.
But we didn't want to get lost in the woods, so we followed railroad tracks into the woods, and we came upon a strange scene of black boxcars, a big row of them. She said they looked out of place and scary. She said we walked over to one where the door was partly open. We got our men to slide it open further. She said, would you believe there were shackles welded into the wall as if to hold people prisoner? And she said we saw something strange at the end of the boxcar, and my friend Rose finally said, Marie, do you see what that is? And my friend Marie said, no. She said, it's a modern guillotine. And all of us took a better look and realized it was. We got terrified. We walked out of there quickly and drove off to our host's home. Then I met with her at a Christian retreat that very year. And she sat in person and said, we saw boxcars with shackles and guillotines. And we're not sure about all that it might be for, but we're concerned.
And it's so funny because, see, we've never met in person. I want the people to know that. I think we were connected supernaturally.
Yeah.
But I have known about that same thing from about 1995. Not only did I know there were boxcars and shackles like they had in Germany, you know, to take the Jews to the camps, but I did not know about guillotines till somebody from Europe told me about it. I said, you're kidding. And then, would you believe there was an article, you know, like there's Inquirer and all these weekly magazines?
Right.
And there was an article in one of them that there's a huge camp in Oregon which can house 2 million people, and those trains are already scheduled to go up to that camp with the shackles, and then the guy added the guillotine. So exactly what you're saying. People need to hear
it. Well, that's right. And I have to tell you that these boxcars with shackles in 1995, I was at my curiosity went crazy at that point. I said, I have to know what this is about.
Yes.
And so I read one article by a Phil Schneider who was tortured and murdered for daring to go public. But he had worked on deep underground military bases. And
was he Jewish?
Said that Gunderson, I don't know that he is.
Yeah. I know
but
Ted
anyhow,
Gunderson. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, you mean
Gunderson. Ted Gunderson, I know, but this is Phil Gunderson. No, this is Phil Schneider. There is a Ted Gunderson who is now dead, but who used to research these things.
Right,
he was my friend, too. But I had heard that Gunderson Steel of Portland, Oregon, was manufacturing under secret contract with the U.S. government thousands of prisoner boxcars with shackles, and Phil Schneider confirmed this on the internet. So I personally drove from Montana, where I was researching boxcars and shackles, to Portland, Oregon, met with Christian workers with Gunderson Steel. They said, yeah, we know about the prisoner boxcars with shackles. We're going to take you to a woman whose husband is a high executive with Gunderson Steel. So they did, and she had me lecture in her home that night. And listen, Eve, she said, I want everybody here to listen to what I have to say. She said, my husband finally admitted we are under secret contract with the U.S. government to produce thousands of prisoner boxcars with shackles. And I had to interrupt. I said, to take people Nazi style to these concentration camps under martial law, correct?
Exactly.
She said, you are correct. And they even have a satellite factory in Texas where they are making more prisoner boxcars with shackles. I checked that out and found out it was true.
Let me, if I may interrupt, because God showed me personally about 35 years ago that there would be concentration camps in America. And I'm saying, God, that couldn't be. And, you know, I would say that to my mother. She always said, ah, leave me alone. Even my parents were from Poland and very Jewish.
Right.
And her friends, many of her friends, they belonged to a club of survivors of the concentration camps in Germany.
Right.
And about 18 years ago, many of her friends told me, they said, Eve, we're seeing here and now exactly what we saw in Nazi Germany before we were taken to the camps. And then about 15 years later, I started getting information about former military bases being converted to be concentration camps.
Absolutely.
But
that
they were especially in the Northeast, you know, to Ohio, New England. I was very interested that I saw nothing
on the
West.
Let me confirm that to you.
Wow.
I want to confirm that to you.
Yes.
A friend of mine is a Messianic Jewish leader. She was a Messianic Jewish rabbi, so to speak, in New York City in Brooklyn before she came down to Maryland. Her name was Pearl McLean. She's Messianic Jewish. And she said, Pam, we had heard that Fort Indiantown Gap in Pennsylvania was going to be converted into a death camp, a concentration camp under martial law.
Oh my God.
And four other believers in Jesus secretly went up there to explore. She said we were actually able to get in because it was going through transition. It had been closed down, and now they were doing some rebuilding in it, so we were able to get in. But that was God.
Yes.
She said the great big opening sign that had a map of the whole facility literally said gassing chambers.
She said we freaked.
We followed the map all the way back and saw this frightening building that could easily, with you know, chimneys and all. She said, oh my gosh, we realized that this, the rumors we heard that it would be a future detention camp, termination camp, were true. And she said at that time, she said the names of the streets were all names of Nazi war criminals. I freaked out at that.
You know how they say
and
that many of...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, there was the, what's called one of them, the paperclip operation.
Yeah, Operation Paperclip, the Nazis that came into the CIA.
Exactly. To our country and to South America. Yes, go ahead.
She said we got out of there quickly. We realized it really was. We didn't want to go back, but she said we went back a year or two later and found it had been sanitized. They realized those names were too extreme on the street signs, so they were returned to normal street signs. She said, but the building in the back for crematory gassing and cremating was still in place, surrounded by high barbed wire, et cetera. She said, so we, and in fact, get this, I went up to check that out, and I found out on the interstate I was driving in Pennsylvania, there were strange signs periodically that said red detour, blue detour, and I found out that if you follow the red detour sign, it leads straight to Indian Town Gap, military reservation, a death camp. Well, could red detour be referring to people on FEMA's red list to be terminated?
Is that what
that
is?
There
is a
very sinister thing.
Yeah, I would like us to go into it in a minute, but let me ask something first. I want people to know why you felt the urgency to have this show, especially this show before election time, what you had said to me, why it's so important.
Right. Well, it's what my CIA friend, Michael Moholy, who was 20 years Naval Intelligence CIA, told me way back in 95 when he became a whistleblower, went public, and then had to go underground or they would have killed him. He said, Pam, I want to tell you, this is the whole New World Order martial law plan to bring America down, down, down into a true communist-type dictatorship that will kill Christians or messianic believers, anybody with faith in God, and bring forth their new world order. He said, here's what they're going to do. When they have their chosen puppet dictator president in place, they will deliberately create what they call today false flag black operations or secret operations, where they deliberately create the disasters that will be sufficient to bring America down, down, down under martial law. Causing the Constitution to be suspended and all religious freedoms and freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, everything shot down with it will come under communist-type dictatorship, presidential executive orders. There will be no more elections, and their chosen puppet of choice will be locked in as dictator for life over America.
That's what
he
I've
said.
Heard.
That is the general plan that we know from inside the CIA that everybody knows.
So who is going
to
be that dictator?
Who knows about these things?
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Who? Who is that dictator? Obama?
The president, whoever is in power, will be locked in as dictator for life.
I've heard that before.
And,
isn't that interesting?
Yes. But anyhow, he said that is the general plan. They will create the disasters deliberately. They don't care how many American lives they kill.
Exactly.
They will use Project HAARP to trigger earthquakes. They will use Project HAARP like they're using it now to create the Frankenstorm Sandy off the East Coast.
I know. That's what I was going to
say. And that is all HAARP generated from military bases.
I know. I know it. You know what you say?
I see it on charts where they measure the frequencies of HAARPs being put out. So a lot of it is from Gakona, Alaska, and I'm up here in Alaska.
Exactly.
They said it's off the charts up here in Alaska. It's so powerful. And
let's
you can
see charts
that measure it.
Let's slow down for a minute because, see, you and I are talking about things that we know. I mean, I've read about, see, God led me and directed me to study these things for years. I had like 5,000 books, you know, and I had to just take in the information. HAARP, tell them what HAARP is. It's spelled H-A-A-R-P. And let me, before I let you do that, about 15 years ago, I felt, you know, like I was in the Northridge earthquake in California, January 17, 1994.
Right.
and I knew that it was not a natural earthquake. It was very up and down, very sharp. I've been in prior earthquakes. I then saw what the aftershocks would be, which were to be in a northeasterly direction, and that's exactly what happened. And I knew that these were artificially caused earthquake, you know, about the Tesla technology, you know, he could do.
Oh, yeah, ELF frequencies.
Right. And you know what I then read about a month or two later? That there was a place in Australia called Pine Gap. It's funny how you say about the Indian Gap, where there's a hole five miles deep from where they could send sonar energy to create earthquakes wherever they wanted. So they do that frequently, too, to reduce the price of the property so that their people can go in and get the property. But I knew...
Oh, absolutely.
I had read about weathermen who left his post because he knew that the weather was being created artificially. You know, the BP spill in the Gulf was not natural.
Sure.
It was an explosion, an intentional explosion. That. Oh, yes, please. We have a caller, Pamela. Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Hello?
I am here. How are you?
Okay, what is your name, please?
Well, my name, you may not remember me, but my name is Jay.
AJ, I didn't. And this is my guest, Pamela. I didn't know you were. I didn't recognize your voice.
How are you, Judge? What a great show!
Fine.
What a great show! And what a great show! Great guest too. Hey, you know, I wanted to ask a question on this topic, and you know what you're talking about right now, and you know with the voting and the elections coming on, with the Electoral College, does your vote really count?
Pamela, are you able to answer that?
Well. The way I feel about voting is when I began to do my research and found out exactly what really goes on, that whether you vote Democrat or Republican, the New World Order has groomed carefully either side so that either one will do the bidding of the New World Order. I've totally pulled out of the whole election scene, and I just fast and pray around election time because both are puppets, both sides, and I don't even pay attention now to those worlds of politics. They are so controlled at this point, it's hopeless.
And you see, AJ, the reason for the Electoral College was precisely to prevent fraud when possible. Because, see, people come in, you know, illegal residents, you know what they're doing now. They're allowing anybody to vote. They claim that it's coercion if you check for their IDs, you know, which is ridiculous. So having the Electoral College allowed some control for honesty. It may change sometime in the future, but I really think it needs to change, stay for now.
So you think it's a good thing then?
I do. I really do. Because I know the intent was to keep our politics pure and clean, not like Europe was. You know, the immigrants who came here, you know, with the Mayflower and all that, they escaped religious persecution. And they, in fact, it was President Jefferson who was very intent on saying, do not allow these bankers to come and take over the United States.
That's right.
And that's what happened. Under Wilson, who was really, bribed to do it, and 2 days before Christmas Day, they passed the Federal Reserve Bank law, which is not federal and stealing our money. So there's
that's
so
right.
much...
You know,
yes, go ahead, AJ. Let me just say AJ and April have a wonderful show called Spiritually Raw. So anyway, go ahead, please, AJ.
Well, I wanted to ask you this, and Judge, hopefully you can help us out this way, because people ask us all the time, and one of the things we always say to our audience is that, number one, is your vote doesn't count because of the Electoral College, and so thanks for clearing that up for us. The other thing, though, is I wanted to ask you, though, is that what we've always said to our audience from this standpoint is, do you think that if someone were to run for a president, per se, they would have to at least have some sort of, they'd have to have run a billion-dollar corporation? You know, they'd have to at least be a governor before they're allowed to even be considered for a president. Do you think that should be a standard?
I, if I may answer, and I'm looking at the clock because I have to take a break in a minute or two, for me, they should have some executive experience, not necessarily a billion-dollar corporation. You know, many of them really train on the job, but maybe to have been a governor or at least to have been a mayor, not just a congressman or a senator, because they need to be in a executive position, you know, to know how to set budget. See, Obama, I really liked Obama when he was running. And I cannot believe all the lies about him. Everything he says is a lie. It just breaks my heart. You know, how we have really interlopers running the White House. So why not have it like we did at the beginning? There were people who cared about America, who cared about our Constitution, who really cared to do the best what was for the people in America. So maybe not make it a requirement, but have people educated to consider it as a factor before they vote for anybody. Did you wish to add anything
about
that?
All right, right on. Thank you so much, and I love this show, and you know, definitely want to get it out there to all of our people. Thank you so much.
Thank you, AJ. God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, God bless you too, Judge. What a great show. I really love it, and you're a pro.
Oh, I don't know about that, but thank you. Have a great day. Thank you, AJ. Yes. And, Pamela, we're going to go on a break because I said I'd take a break at the 30-minute time, so we'll have a minute to talk.
Free.
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on bbsradio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murder in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister and the theft of their millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an e-book, Diary of Sober Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and if people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J, U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, everybody. We're back on. And Pamela, I am amazed by the information you have because so much of it I've known generally. And you're confirming things that either God showed me directly or I've picked up from different literature, you know, books and tapes and things that I've, you know, gotten to know over the years. So let me ask you this. Do you think this martial law will take place before this coming election?
Well, from what I have been told, and you see, I thank God that he is ultimately in control of this nation's destiny, not the New World Order power elite, not the Illuminati, not the Satanists of this world, but Almighty God. And there are millions of people praying who know these things now that are praying for God to hold back martial law, stop their insanity and all the horrible things they plan to trigger martial law. But we're, a lot of us researchers and people who know what's going on now are sitting on the edge of our seats wondering if, in fact, this will be the year that was, if this will be the year they will ultimately trigger martial law, the whole thing come raging down and lock Obama into power, the boxcars and shackles get rolling with the political and religious people taken to the camps to be killed, the guillotines out, and if you won't deny your faith in Jesus Christ, you will be beheaded. It's tied in with the Noahide laws. There's so many things at stake should martial law come down that I have spent 18 years now crying out to God to hold back their insane martial law, New World Order agenda. I understand very well what will happen once it comes down. It will be forevermore the end of America, freedom-loving America as we have known her.
Exactly.
And we are wondering, we are praying, we are asking God, please restrain this madness. But it looks very evident to me and many of us that potentially this may be the year that was, and we are praying. That's all
I know,
can
Jesus
say.
Is coming back in my lifetime. And, in fact, Jack Van Impe, who's
yes,
82,
he is.
Yeah, oh, I know it. He said 2016, so everything is, like, you know, right here at hand. Let me, before we go any further, again, to ask people to support you financially if they possibly can. And it's Pamela Rae, R-A-E, Schuffert, S-C-H-U-S-S-E-R-T, that's F like Frank twice, her address in Alaska. Can you imagine? Are you looking at Russia from where you are, Pamela?
Well, we practically can. Oh. We can look. I can look across the. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's like about when you get to a certain point here. I'm on the coast, but when you get to a certain point, it's only 80 miles across the Bering Straits. But guess what is over there? The Gulag system, where millions and millions of religious and political people died in the Siberian Gulag. We are at the same latitude. Last year it was minus 70 below zero for several months. You cannot imagine the challenge it is to live here during the winter, and everything is sky high. We have to pay $12 for a gallon of milk, $6 a bag of bread, because in this isolated Eskimo village of Kotzebue, everything must be flown in daily, and we have no roads to get us to Anchorage. We are isolated. The cost of living is sky high, and yet we are in a relatively poor region of America. So
and you are? Are you in
very,
an Eskimo?
Very hard.
You're in an Eskimo tribal area? You're in an Eskimo tribal area.
Yes, the wonderful Inupiaq native people are here. Yes. They are Inupiaq or Inuit, and they are very precious people. They have lived in this climate for thousands of years, and but I have not, so it's hard for me to adjust.
To
and I don't get paid
warm.
For what I do here, except for a small, tiny grant.
Yes. Yeah, let me just say, give your full address first, if I may, please. So, again, it's Pamela Ray Schufert, P.O. Box 106, Kotzebue, K-O-T like Tom, Z like Zebra, E, B like Boy, U, E like, I used to say elephant, and I have like an elephant leg from my broken ankle, so I say eagle. So it's Kotzebue, Alaska, 99752. And if you'd be kind enough and live to support her, that would be wonderful, because what she's doing, what you're doing, Tamla, let me tell you what God is just showing me, you holding the land there for his return. It's like your anchor there will cause everything in America to fall into perfect placement. Does that make sense to you?
All I know is that God is the author of the impossible through Jesus the Messiah and everything.
Yes.
I live in prayer here. Eve, I'm up all night with the aurora borealis overhead, praying unceasingly for the American people and Canadian as well over these things that I know are scheduled to come down. These insane Illuminati, Satanist, New World Order madmen that have horrible things planned. And the only thing holding it back are the power of faith in God's people and prayer and crying out to Almighty God to stop these insane madmen now.
Yes.
You know, I don't stop praying about everything I know.
No, we have to. It's the only power we have, really. And you know what I was going to
say?
It's not only America and, like you say, Canada, but really the whole
world. Oh, no, I'm praying worldwide. It's
worldwide. And, you know,
people worldwide.
Go ahead, please. It will affect people worldwide. And isn't the whole
that
purpose
is right.
to decimate the population? They want to have only about 500 million per stone
Absolutely.
That is in Georgia? Yes, so people, that's where we get genetically modified food. We get our water with fluoride, which makes people come. Did you know that?
That's
the reason they used fluoride here and did in Nazi Germany was to control the people. It's unbelievable.
Well, the communists used fluoride in the Gulag system because it dumbs people down and numbs their brain, of course.
I did not
know. We know what's going on.
Yeah,
you know,
I wanted to
elaborate.
Yes.
That's right. I wanted to elaborate a little bit more about the modern guillotines. And people need to know my website so they can go and read more reports documenting factually these things. Let me give them my website, okay?
Please. Yes, please.
It's www.AmericanHolocaustComing.blogspot.com. That's www.AmericanHolocaustComing.blogspot.com.
Right.
And also, if they go to Google and type in search the words modern military guillotines
in America,
Christians, martyrdom, beheading, etc., Noahide laws, many of my reports will come up factually documenting this.
Yes.
I wanted to finish because people will never understand about guillotines unless they understand the following.
The
I wondered
law.
For years why.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Why guillotines in today's modern society with high-tech military weaponry where they can microwave you, particle beam you? They don't need guillotines.
Yes. Right.
Well, I prayed long and hard about that, and the answer came from, I say sadly, inside the Jewish community. It ties in with the Noahide laws, seven laws allegedly
yes.
given to Noah for the Gentiles, the non-Jews, that
you know,
they intend.
Let me say something. I'd heard about it. I didn't know about it till I met
right.
you, and I read about it a little bit. Let me say this. Anything that's outside of the Bible, I don't care if they're Jewish or Christians, is just not of God. You know, I'm raised.
That is right.
I was raised in a very Jewish Orthodox home, and I am shocked to hear that this group, the Chabad de Lubavitch, who helped kill my parents in Beverly Hills, would go to really
right.
demonic laws. I've never heard of such a thing. And I could teach
That's
Judaism.
Right.
You know, this is what really bothers me. So go ahead, explain
what
they
do. Well,
see,
a lot of it came out of the Talmud.
Exactly. And what the Talmud is Jewish law, which was developed in Babylon. And the thing that made
right.
me sick was to say that any non-Jew is considered like cattle, and it's okay to kill them
right.
and to steal from them. And just to, if
That's
I may digress
right.
for a minute, when I lived in Las Vegas after my parents were killed, my life has been threatened. See, I have lived in my body what's going to happen to the body. That's why I think God let me do it, so I know how to help them. And I went to see the chief rabbi in Las Vegas for the Chabad. And I said, come on, let's try and settle this. He said to me, and he knew everything that happened in Beverly Hills. He said, my parents had to die to atone for my sin of accepting Jesus in my life, and bad things will happen to me. So I said, how come you didn't kill me? I'm the bad guy. Why is the Jews killing Jews?
Right.
Doesn't sound like jihad to you? And he didn't know what to say. So to me, anybody who follows that kind of laws makes me sick. Yet let me add my grandparents, my grandfathers, who were very, very Orthodox. My grandfather, one of them, was the student of the Kabbalah and the Zohar, and I never heard him say we kill people because they're not Jewish. So go ahead, please, and explain the Noahide laws. I had to give my
right. And before I say any more, I want to add to that and say this. I have loved and worked among the Jewish communities in America, including New York, Washington, D.C., and live in Jerusalem well for many decades. I have personally taken care of little children, Russian Jewish children out of New York City at our Russian Christian camp many summers. The parents would send them there to get them out of the city. I became Big Mama to all these precious little Russian Jewish children. As a home health aide, I have taken care of Jewish elderly till they died and treated them as if I were taking care of my own mother. The things that I am sharing, I want people to understand this perfectly, Eve, that the things that I'm sharing about this certain Jewish element aspect of the New World Order is in no wise, shape, or form tied in with very nasty people out there who would like to take the same information and twist it into a hate the Jews campaign. God forbid.
I
love the Jews. I love God's Jewish people. And this
and
is not
Jews
what my message is, not a message of hate at all.
Right. And most Jewish people are wonderful people. They really, really are.
They are.
Know? Yes.
And I will stand against that form of neo-Nazi, and it's rising in Germany, unfortunately,
and here too.
Element of anti-Semitism with all my life. Because it has, furthermore, as Christians, hate and revenge has no place in the heart and life of a true disciple of Jesus, the Jewish
Amen.
Messiah.
Amen.
It has no place. We deal with perceived enemies the way Jesus told us to,
right.
and that is with love and forgiveness, mercy and compassion. Yes. So I want people to understand this very clearly before I share these things, because
and may I
the
say
things
one
I've
more
uncovered
thing?
Has broken my heart.
And I know that your heart is to even have those who have done the bad things come to the knowledge of God, and you would lay your life down
for all the time.
Yes, I know
Eve,
that.
I was attacked by Lubavitch in New York City. I was in New York City sharing the love and power of Yeshua the Messiah among Orthodox Jewish neighborhoods in New York City.
Yes.
These Chabadniks blessed their little Hasidic hearts, but they'd send out roving gangs of Hasidim to beat up our missionaries, rip up our literature.
God.
And we had all a good sense of humor. We'd laugh afterwards. We'd pray for these people. We understood because they don't know. They don't know that Yeshua is the Messiah. They've been filled with doctrines and teachings that say he's not the Messiah. Christians are your enemies. They don't know any better.
Because, Pamela, what happens, and I lived it, that we really have a veil on our eyes when I accepted Jesus, which was never going to happen to me. It was like somebody took a knife and sliced that veil off of my eyes.
Right.
And lifted
Absolutely.
It up. And finally I could see things more clearly, so they can't help it.
You know, but by the same token, we cannot let Satan use them to hurt other people. So go ahead about the
No, we can't. It's a very challenging line to walk between the two, because I will be honest, and I told you this in an email. I said, Eve, I'm so careful about how I share these things, because we saw what happened in Nazi Germany when Jews were stereotyped and villainized and mass categorized as terrible people. It did lead to a Holocaust. Innocent children, innocent elderly, innocent people were killed in these camps. And,
Know,
and it led to Kristallnacht. God forbid that anything like that should take place in America today.
Exactly.
But the thing is, on the other side of the coin is the fact that my research, to my pain in my heart, it breaks my heart, these things. But there are those who refer to themselves as Jews who are very much on board the New World Order agenda. They have called it, frankly, their New World Order agenda.
Yes.
And many of them are Sabbatean Satanists or Luciferians or Illuminati, as the Rothschild ships and many others.
Right. What is Sabbatean? What does that mean?
That is a term often used to describe Jewish Satanists, people who are into it. They were, a lot of it comes from the Spaltz rabbi, Sabtai Zvi, taught that, taught that if you do enough evil, it will hasten the coming of Messiah.
You know what my father used to tell me? That Shabtai Tzvi said that the rabbis who went against Jesus, they could also float in the air like Jesus. And he told me stories and stories. I didn't know that was Sabbatean. Oh, my goodness.
Well, Sabbatean. Yes. And my wonderful Jewish journalist friend, Barry Hamish, has, frankly, as a Jewish journalist, exposed Satanism in the Jewish communities.
Exactly.
So does my Jewish friend, Henry. Oh, my gosh, I can't think of his last
He'll
name.
Come to you.
But he has a website that exposes, it's called Save the Males, I believe, website. But anyhow, he is a Jewish physician who exposes Satanism and New World Order Satanism specifically to the Jews. And, what shocked me, Eve, was when I was doing my years of pro-life, and took me to the city of Asheville, North Carolina, the chief abortionist there, Dr. Philip Kittner, I found out through former Satanists I was interviewing for my book, Satanism in America Today, that he was, in fact, a part of the Jewish Satanists, came from New Jersey.
God.
He was one of the high priests offering human sacrifice, selected because he was an abortionist. This was documented. This was turned into the State Bureau of Investigation. I worked with Christian officers, other people, to expose Satanism there.
Yeah.
You have lots of Satanism in the Jewish circles. And I went to, when I was in Brooklyn doing outreach, sharing Yeshua the Messiah, and ducking the blows from Lubavitch Chabad, I sat on a bench one day talking to a Jewish man, and I said, dear, I just don't get it. How could Jews have been given Moses, the Ten Commandments, the prophets, the promises, the glorious things that God gave to the Jews in the very beginning, how could any of them be so foolish as to turn to Satan, the destroyer, who wants to destroy Israel and destroy the Jews? And I'll never forget that Jewish man's response. He turned and looked at me quickly and without missing a heartbeat. He said, He said, if Jesus is not the Messiah, then who else do you have but?
Oh, my God.
And I thought, what a true statement. If you do not have the promised Messiah that the Jews waited for centuries, Yeshua HaMashiach, if you do not have him, all you have left are deceptions and false messiahs like Menachem Schneerson of Lubavitch or others to come. All you have is spiritual darkness and deception if you reject whom the God of Israel, you know, Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if you reject him and his promised Messiah, you have nothing but deception and cults and false teachings. I thought that Jewish man, bless his heart, could not have said it better.
Let me interpret.
And I found out that Jews are, Jews are disproportionately involved in cults throughout the world. I read an article where it said that no other ethnic group is more involved in alternative religions and cults than the Jews. No wonder.
Why?
If you reject Yeshua, the Messiah, what do you have left but deception?
My understanding, my own personal understanding of that has been, is that there was not spirituality in the synagogue. You know, in Israel, it was only Orthodox. I never heard of Reform or Conservative till I came
right,
here.
Right.
So here, there, you didn't need to look for it. You know, people prayed. The ones I knew prayed with their whole heart. You come here and there's nothing.
Course.
So people try to fill that spiritual void in the heart with something else. You know, and
exactly.
Satan loves it, right?
So, exactly. You know. And here's what I've also found out. Okay, let's go to the Noahide laws. In, I think it was 1991, Lubavitch Chabad of 770 Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn, this Orthodox Jewish group.
Okay, go ahead, please. Yes.
They sent a delegation to Washington, D.C. to present the Noahide laws legislation to get passed by Senate and House and to then be signed by Bush Sr., then the president. And as a Senator Dannemeyer shared, he said that they used deceitful means to get it rushed through the Senate and House, then signed by Mr. New World Order Bush himself, who was setting up the detention camps at that time, and later used his power over the CIA to bring drugs in to get money to set up camps to kill us all with. Bush was happy to sign the Noahide law legislation brought in by Lubavitch because it would serve their mutual purposes to terminate these dratted Christians who stand in the way of their New World Order agenda.
Unbelievable.
And I have had Jewish readers of my website send me emails that broke my heart. One man said, lady, your reporting is 100% correct, and the Antichrist you Christians fear will be our new Messiah to bring in the New World Order and get rid of you Christians that stand in our way. The Noahide laws are designed to cause Christians to be executed for their faith, and the means by which they have declared people will be executed under the Noahide laws are beheading. And for beheading, you need guillotine.
Here we go.
And that and there's so much documentation on that. It's in my reports. But the guillotines that they are actively training our military on in Fort Lewis McChord, Fort Bragg, Fort Hood, and including overseas, the guillotines are in the UK, they're in Berlin, they're throughout the world.
Wow.
These guillotines are tied in with a Zionist New World Order agenda to take over the world, and Jews have bragged to me that it is their New World Order agenda. But I wonder how many of these Jews realize that at the highest levels are Satanists.
Exactly.
Is that something that any Jew would be proud of?
But isn't that true of Masonic organizations as well? You know, that's what's happening. The ones at the bottom know nothing, so they think it's a good organization.
That's right.
You know, we only have a few minutes,
and
glad.
It breaks my heart.
Yes. I didn't know you wrote books. Did you write, you mentioned one book. Did you write more than one book?
Well, I wrote two, but they were self-published, you know, like through Office Max, Office Depot. Yeah. But I don't need to write them anymore because everything I've ever written I put out on the Internet free.
Great.
Because you know what? I don't believe, Eve, that anybody should be deprived of critically needed information in this hour because they can't afford to buy my book, my CD, my DVD. I put out everything free of charge one in America is deprived of the truth in this hour. No one.
So would you kind of
I do not believe in depriving people. Because they don't have filthy Illuminati currency.
Exactly. It's true.
It's not,
but God will
know,
supply, and that's why I'm so glad we'll have another show so we can go into more detail. But please give the people your website.
Oh, there's so much detail.
I
will give my website again.
Please, go ahead.
www.AmericanHolocaustComing.blogspot.com www.AmericanHolocaustComing.blogspot.com. And I want to say this too, Eve, that I know that you have listeners from Lubavitch Chabad, and they are intently listening to this kind of message, and I know they know who I am well because of my reports, but I want to say to them, with all the love that Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has put into my heart through Yeshua, the promised Mashiach,
that
I love these people.
Let me interpret Hashem HaKadosh.
I am praying for them.
And what I was going to say, so people know what you're saying, Hashem HaKadosh means God, the Holy One. Hashem is another word for God. He be blessed.
Right.
And what Pamela says is she loves even the Chabadnik and the Lubavitcher and all of
them. Oh, yes, I do.
Threatened my life, who've killed my parents,
And that's our job. Yes. You know, God told me I'd be persecuted by the Jewish people like Joseph was by his brothers, but then they will come to me for help. And you and I will never turn
that's
them
right.
away, you know. Time is for us to get off, so I want to thank you so much, Pamela, for what you have to offer and for your wonderful information. And I'm so glad again, everybody, if you're able, next Saturday it'll be a regular showtime at 11 a.m. Pacific time, excuse me, which is 2 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll have Pamela on again. And if you have any questions, either address her or address me at my email, and she'll be able to answer. And I have some questions that I will ask you specifically for next time, Pamela. And God
wonderful.
Bless you. God
great
bless
broadcast
you.
Here, Eve.
Oh, thank
love
you.
Love you. Shalom.
Shalom to you. And that's what we say at the end. I have a song, Heveinu Shalom Alechem. So we
right.
bring peace and love to all of you. Thank you so much. God bless you, Pamela.
Well, this is
God.
A great broadcast.
Thank you. You're going to make me cry. Thank you. Everybody be blessed, and hopefully we'll see you next week. And God bless
yeah.
you.
Yeah, Lubavitch, be blessed, too. We're praying for
yes.
you, dear ones.
Yes. Yes, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Heveinu shalom aleichem. Heveinu shalom aleichem. Heveinu shalom aleichem. Heveinu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Heveinu shalom aleichem. Heveinu shalom aleichem. Heveinu shalom aleichem. Heveinu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Heveinu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.